Okay. So that's about the third-party server discovery. So don't get confused about the title. So the title is still remaining from an old version of that draft, which was solely discussing the third-party server discovery. But this draft is actually now working for third-party server discovery and also for peers that are non-third-party people actually trying to find another server. Next slide, please. Next slide. So we have the normal discovery where basically the resource consumer, which is the peer, is actually trying to find the outer server. That's what we call the normal server discovery. There's a draft, it's draft Song Alto Server Discovery, which describes scenarios and candidate solutions for this, but no protocol specification so far. And there's, for instance, the DNS service records. It's a DNS SRE records are listed as one promising approach amongst others like DHCP. There's the third-party discovery, where the discovery entity is actually located in a resource directory for a tracker, if you use BitTorrent, for instance. And this one is asking for, okay, which other server is actually serving an IP address without being actually in the same network where the IP address is located. And this draft, as said, is like specification of a first version for a DNS-based server discovery, both for the normal and the third-party discovery use case. Next slide, please. So why DNS-based alter discovery? So DNS is deployed all over the internet, and you can actually use it anywhere without major problems, I would say. Some from the DNS people will for sure object to this. DHCP and IP multicast are not widely deployed, so they are deployed in some areas like DHCP, but for instance, if you use your DSL access at home, they most likely are not using DHCP to bring the configuration data to back home, but they use PPP or PPP over Ethernet. Most credential gateways know how to forward DNS from the outside to inside, so they just pass options in DNS as long as they are not too long, for instance, like DNSSEC. That's critical for DHCP because it's known that some implementations of home gateways, they just eat unknown DHCP options, despite the fact they should not eat them, and just forward. The user can actually influence the outer service instance selections. For instance, he can take a domain name from some other people and try to find the outer server for that domain. There's an example later on. And we have DNS as a proven technology. So the operators use this. We have DNS service records, which are used by SIP, Jabber, and there are many probably other examples where they're deployed and also used successfully. Next slide. So here's the service resource record format. The upper line is like the general record format. It says like service, the service name, the protocol which is used. Then there are some other DNS-specific information. You can read this in this RFC 2782. So the service we would define, or we would ask IANA to define, that it's ALTO. The protocol is TCP, as we use HTTP over TCP. And the port number would be, for instance, port 80. And below, you actually see it's not an example for querying the ALTO service, but that's actually the information which is entered in the DNS server. How it's looking like. There you can see, let's see if this cable is long enough. Just kill it. So, let's go. You can see it's saying ALTO TCP, that's mysp.net, and says the service record. You have some information about preferences, and for load balancing, it's port 80, and actually the server which is serving this, it's called ALTO Server 1 mysp.net. And there can be multiple entries, so that you also can do load balancing if you like. Next slide. So how does the lookup actually work? So this was the server configuration on the slide before. There are two use cases. Case A is like the ALTO server instance is provided by the access network provider, meaning your ISP has its own ALTO server running locally. Or the user configures a specific ALTO server instance, meaning maybe Pirate Bay has their own ALTO server running. You try to ask this one and not the one from the ISP, or maybe your ISP doesn't have any deployed. So the first step is actually finding the IP address. You need to find out what is your IP address and what is your DNS name, which is associated with your IP address. This can be your stun, or for instance, there's this BEP 24 of BitTorrent, how they're doing it. So there are multiple mechanisms you can do this. Then you go there and determine the DNS suffix, meaning you resolve your IP address via a DNS PTR to a domain name, which is like this DCBA, DSL West Coast. Or the case B, you can say my DNS suffix should be myaltoprovider.org, for instance. Next slide, please. The step three is that you actually have to look up their service record, meaning you need to find out what part of the DNS suffix is actually used by my ISP to provide the address of the outer server. This is not very obvious because there may be multiple service records needed, and you can see it in under A for the case A. You can see probably you take the full qualified domain name you just received, but you may have to shorten it step by step because it might be that you don't yield any reply. You maybe yield a reply, maybe you don't need, then you have to ask this one. Maybe only this reply gives you the server name. The same holds true for the other case. And the final lookup is you have to process this, do the final lookup, for instance, which is saying, okay, if you have auto server 1 at myisp.net, you have to still find the IP address, but that's the last step. And then you have to go with that information to the auto client, which then can start doing auto. Next slide, please. So this is the first version of a specification of a DNS-based approach. If this is the ultimate approach, it's still questionable. This covers like both the normal and the third-party discovery. The draft still needs a new name, and we consider to incorporate some text from draft song if the authors is fine, and we still have to discuss them. And of course, we find the specification. So questions first before we go to the last point.
Hannes Chovinik. The presentation you gave essentially is a replay of several years' discussions we had in Chiabrief. And the conclusion there was, and Martin, who is behind me, can probably summarize that much better than I do, but what we finally came up with is you use DHCP to learn the domain name, then you do UNAP, the DNS resolution, and then you come up with a UI, and then you use that UI for the lookup. For the cases where, like you mentioned, with some deployments in cable and DSL networks, that's obviously a little bit more challenging. And then, because of the mentioned problems, there indeed some of the things that you mentioned with STUN and so on may potentially work, but they have some issues.
Yes,
that's why I don't think we actually... It's not a working group item yet. So I think the DHCP solution is starting with the DHCP to get the domain name, because that's something you would need initially for the lookup. I think that's what you have to do. Then you kick the DNS lookup in. Instead of using SRV record, you'd rather go for the UNAPTA, because you then get a UI, you get a port number, you get everything.
Okay.
So let's say for the HTTP, yes.
For the DHCP part, I think it's fair enough if you say you learn the your domain name via the DHCP option or any other mechanism you have.
Right.
It's like the reward standard is also very clear. So like to say, okay, you could, the best way would be to say, okay, you can use the DHCP option if you have DHCP. You can use PPP option, whatever, if you have PPP. So it's not the intention to say definitely use STUN because we know it has problems.
The problem is you have to nail out one specific mechanism, because otherwise you won't have interoperability.
No.
You potentially learn some wrong...
for the access network, you cannot nail down a specific mechanism because the access networks without DHCP.
That's true.
For the other thing, I'm fine. If it's better if UNAP pattern to use, they are not complaining, that's probably fine. So it's just the initial step. It's like there we need to be flexible.
Martin Thompson. I have a draft on the RFC editor's queue that does half of this, which is the bit that takes the DHCP option and takes that off into the DNS and looks for a resource. There are holes in that like you would not believe, and I think actually Peter has a draft on the problem. There's significant security problems with this. Identifying which reference identity that you're going to use to actually authenticate this particular service that you've contacted is actually a fairly big challenge in and of itself. What you have here with the reverse tree and all of those sorts of other things is, as Hannah said, stuff that we're taking to the GeoPriv group. And let me tell you, it's quite an emasculating process if you stand up and present something like that in that group and you invite the right people. You get ripped to shreds. And quite rightly so. It's a difficult problem, and there's no good answers for it.
Yeah.
And there are many, many ways that anything like this can be attacked. simply starting from it doesn't work, going all the way up to abuses of the use of the, you know, iterating through the DNS tree and all sorts of other things like that. All of those arguments we've already had before, and we can take this offline if you want the full background on this, but this is an ugly, ugly problem.
Yeah, I'm happy to see, let's say, talk offline, and also if you have a draft or so, just send it to the outer list or to me.
Sure.
So that we have some pointers. So, thank you.
John Peterson. So I certainly agree with Martin that there are a lot of problems with this, and we could get into the nitty-gritty of the security, and especially when we get into what it would mean for multiple service instances and determining equivalence based on different people executing this. I mean, there's a ton of things like that. But I actually came up here to say I think we still do need a way to do discovery with DNS. And actually, this may differ in some respects from some of the use cases we look at in GeoPriv precisely because the application context is different. The way that this application gets invoked, the situation of the browser that is actually, the client that's actually invoking it, I think is kind of different from especially some of the assumptions we have to have about emergency services, where this is like a Cisco 7960, you know, sitting on a table somewhere that you just plug in. Somebody who's accessing a tracker and so on obviously is in a very different situation in terms of the context and they're invoking the application. So I think we need to note very carefully what the security problems are that this engenders. But I don't think it changes the fact that even without the reverse resolution part, which is especially sketchy, actually, I agree, you still need to be able to take a domain name, right, and find an Alto service based on. We need a document that tells you how to do that. So I think we got to be careful and we got to note what the problems are. Let's not lose sight of the fact we actually need something that does that.
And just to give you an idea what some of those questions that we ran into are, for example, if you do a UNAPTA lookup, you initially have the domain as input, and then you get the UI as an output, HTTP, and then you do the transport layer security, and then compare the certificate with, or the idea of the UNAPTA is you compare the input to the UNAPTA resolution to the stuff you get in a certificate. But that might not be a good idea if you actually envision that the ISP sort of delegates the deployment of those Alto servers to someone else. So you essentially, in the DNS, they just point to those Alto servers in a different domain. So obviously there's comparison. The input you get from the domain name of the access provider to what you have then as an output of the DNS will obviously not match. And I don't know if you envision that as a useful deployment scenario, but that was one of the cases that differed the lookup we used in ECRIT versus the one with Lost versus the one with Held in GeoPriv.
Okay, thanks. I think we have to take this offline and then see. But there are good comments. Thank you.
I'll just say something. Actually, we defined the DNS best auto server discovery in DraftStone auto server discovery. The difference is that we specify different approaches for acquiring your domain name. We specify the DHCP options that is already used in the GeoPrivy working group, and we also analyze the drawbacks. Why we don't use the PTR? Reverse lookup for the domain name there. We already listed the reason there. I think.
I cannot remember reading this, but I might have overread this. So.